So the plan, I think, for this Zman is to try to learn a blot each week or so, and then cover some topic, a halachic topic, that comes up on the daf. So today, this week, we were talking about the Yerusha in general, by Malchus and Yerusha in particular, when it comes to Rabbanus. Is there such a concept of Yerusha for Rabbanus? So the real question of Yerusha in general is when it comes to property, dine mamonis. A person dies and he leaves property, so he passes it on to his children, and if his children, if he has no sons, he gives it to his daughters, and then if no daughters or sons, he gives it to the brother, and then uncles. There's a whole chain of passing on Yerusha in general. But the din is that Rashi, here in Rosh Hashanah Beis Mabeis, points out there's also Yerusha when it comes to Malchus. And Rashi writes that the Fisha Malchus is Yerusha. And he quotes a pasuk in Shoftim, Leman Yarich Yamim al Mamlachto Hu Uvanav. That Malchus is something that's passed on to the children as well. So there's Yerusha by Malchus. But the few questions that we have to ask by Malchus, Yerusha Malchus is number one, is this something that the pasuk only says it only goes to the children? Let's say there's no son. Would it go to the daughter? Would she become the queen? Would it go to the son-in-law? Would it go to brothers? Or it's only to the children? Number two is, when it comes to Malchus, Yerusha Malchus, it's very strange because there's nothing to pass. There's nothing, you know, there's no material. There's no mamashus to pass on. There's no property. So how exactly does Yerusha work with Malchus? It's just a position that you're passing on. There's no item. There's no chair, table, or house that's passed on. How does Yerusha work by Malchus? And the third question is Malchus the only concept where you pass on a position? Are there any other examples where you could be morish a position, such as Rabbanus, such as the position of a chazan? So these are the few questions I'd like to address in this particular sugya when it comes to Rabbanus, Yerusha by Rabbanus. So we're going to pretty much walk through together a discussion of the Chassam Sofer. Fascinating Chassam Sofer goes through the sugya from beginning to end. He quotes all the sources that we saw, and he gives his position whether he thinks there's going to be Yerusha by Rabbanus, that if there's a Rav and the Rav passes away, can he pass it on to his child or not? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that you had a chance to see that when he quotes the halacha that Malchus is a Yerusha, he says it's not only true of Malchus. It's not only true that a king could be morish the Malchus to his children, but he says, lo Malchus bilvad, elakoa suraros, all other types of positions of authority, v'chol minuyim, other types of appointments, shebe Yisrael, is considered Yerusha levno uleben beno ad olam. So the Rambam clearly takes the question and extends Malchus to other types of positions of appointment. It doesn't say what type. You know, what's considered a significant appointment? Is a rabbi considered a significant appointment? Is, you know, a president of a shul, is that considered a significant appointment? How do you decide what's an appointment? So that's one. Number two is he also seems to only allow this to go to the children. He says, lebno uleben beno ad olam, but he doesn't mention anything about sons-in-laws, doesn't mention anything about brothers or uncles. It sounds very limited. It sounds like a unique idea when it comes to Malchus, only to children, not beyond. So this is the Rambam. And so let's walk through together this Chassam Sofer. I'm not going to, it's hard to follow along. I'll read out the key points. The Chassam Sofer was asked this question based on this Rambam, whether or not there's a particular case about the rabbi who is retiring. And, you know, as oftentimes happens, the rabbi wanted to pass on the Rabbanus to his child. The child may not have been as equipped as his father was, but he was somewhat of a Talmud Chacham. And the Chassam Sofer was dealing with this. It's interesting. It's hard to understand the languages of tshuvas. Sometimes the Rashi tables are difficult, but he's describing, if I understand correctly, he was somewhere traveling, he was getting some fresh air, he was saying, and he was sent this tshuva, and he's busy riding from some mountains up where we're trying to get some free time and free air. But either way, he's addressing this question, and he quotes from the Rambam that Yerusha applies to Malchus. And he says, the big question here is, how can you say Yerusha, there's Yerusha by Malchus, if our Rashi here in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that you have to appoint a son, right? He says, the Gemara itself says, that the situation where you appointed the next in line, and it happens to be a Melech ben Melech. So it says, De'ikatar Rashi, there are two items here. Number one is you appointed a son. Number two is there's Yerusha. So he says, if there's Yerusha, there's no need for an appointment. If a father dies and he leaves over property to his child, you don't need to appoint the child. The Yerusha happens naturally. There's no need to appoint anyone. So by the mere fact that there's an appointment, he says, how could there be any Yerusha by Malchus? That's how the Chassam Sofer talks, starts off his tshuva. And the Chassam Sofer says that there's a fundamental difference between Yerusha as it applies to Malchus of Umos HaOlam versus how it applies to Malchus Yisrael. And he says that when it comes to, he says the Yerusha by Malchus Yisrael is not Lav Yerusha Mamash Kimalchai Umos HaOlam. It's not the same type of Yerusha. She'aretz beYerusha. What happens is when, you know, in a place where there's a king, let's say in England, so the queen or king, they die, so they get the property's theirs. The next in line gets the palace or all the palaces, all the castles. It's no matter what the criteria, what the state of the child is, they're going to get it when it comes to Umos HaOlam. And that's real Yerusha. He says, by Malchus Umos HaOlam, Morishin Livneim Lachacham Otipesh. Whether the guy's a smart guy, whether he's a Tipesh, that next in line of the Queen of England is going to get the Yerusha. So there's no question. So that's true Yerusha. But when it comes to Malchus Yisrael, says the Chassam Sofer, ain't okay, it's not the case. It's not just whoever's next in line, whoever the child of the king of Malchus Yisrael is going to get the kisei. He says, if the child is fit, if he's worthy to be the king, so then as yorish shafilu ikachrina dadifamine. So what happens is you don't need to have the best son to inherit the kingdom of Malchus Yisrael, as long as he's somewhat qualified. So then that works. If the child of the Malchus Yisrael is completely unqualified to be the king, so then he wouldn't get it. He would bring someone else in. Others will apply. So there's somewhat of an appointment that's necessary by Malchus Yisrael. So what happens is we don't send out a search committee for Malchus Yisrael. When it comes to Malchus HaOlam, when he dies, the next line gets it, no questions asked. Malchus Yisrael dies, we look at the son first. If the son is in the realm of being a qualified king, maybe he's not the best king, he's not the smartest guy, but he's decent, so he's going to get the next in line. But if he's not going to be qualified for any type of king, he doesn't have whatever it takes to be a king, so then we look elsewhere. So it's not a full Yerusha by Malchus Yisrael, but he at least gets the first look. So therefore, there's a need for a mino. You still need to appoint the Ben Melech to ensure that he does get that position. So it's a quasi-Yerusha. He's the first we look at, but it's not a vaday that he's going to naturally get the position. So that's what he starts off by saying. So then he says, okay. So now the Rambam says this concept of being Morish, inheriting the Malchus, so how far does that extend? So he quotes his Rajba, who spoke about that Machlokas when it comes to the Chazan. But the Chazan, a very nice Chazan, a beautiful voice, who was very fitting. And then he wanted to pass on the Shliach Tzibur to his child. The child didn't have the greatest voice. He was decent. And there's a big fight what to do about it. So the way the Rajba came out, and the Rama Paskin this way, is that there is Yerusha when it comes to a Chazan as well. So the Chassam Sofer says, if you look at the Rajba very carefully, you know, it could be very deceiving. If you just look how the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Halacha, that if the Chazan wants to be Morish to his child, the child can take over to be the Chazan, as long as he's somewhat fit. So the Chassam Sofer says, if you look at the Rajba, it's not because Yerusha. If you look at the languages, he says, it's because they made a Tanai initially with the Chazan when they made the agreement that your son could take over. And the Minhag HaOlam was that it was such a way that the child should take over. But nothing to do with Yerusha at all. This was just part of an agreement. If you make an agreement, for example, in a regular case of Yerusha, the person has a will and details that he doesn't want his Bechor having Pishnayim, and he wants his daughters getting Yerusha. That agreement is going to override any halachas of Yerusha. You know, most people don't follow the halachas of Yerusha in the Torah. Yerusha in the Torah means when a person dies, the Bechor gets Pishnayim, gets double, and the rest of the sons split evenly. The daughters get nothing. And the only way to circumvent that is by writing a will that's acceptable, but the will says that, and the way it's done is, before the person dies, all the property is given over to the children equally. That's how most cases are. And if you don't write that document, you have to follow the halacha. But if you do write the document, so then the document, whatever the document says, whatever the will says, you follow the will, and you don't have to follow the Bechor Pishnayim if you don't want to. And there's no problem in doing that. So the Chassam Sofer points out, the only reason why the Chazan took over for the father from the Rajba was because there was an agreement. There was an agreement that this was the minhag in the city, this was the verbal agreement they had, perhaps it was the written agreement, but it was an agreement. But this is not about a Yerusha of a Chazan to the next in line. So he says, so how come, what's the difference? Why by a Melech Yisrael, there is some type of a Yerusha? But by a chazan, there's no type of Yerusha. It's only because of the agreement. It had not been an agreement, there's no Yerusha by a chazan. What's the difference? So this is with a big chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer writes that really there are two types of Yerushas by jobs. Right? We're not talking about Yerusha really of mamonos. Forget Yerusha of property. There's Yerusha when it comes to jobs. There's one type of Yerusha of malchus, any position of authority. But there's another Yerusha, what he calls, of Yerusha of kedusha, passing on a position of kedusha, not a position of authority, of power. A melech isn't a position of kedusha. He's not a kohen gadol. He's not a rav. He's a powerful figure, and he has control. He can make rules. He can legislate rules. He could kill whoever he wants to. But it's not a power. It's not a position of kedusha. So the Rajba, the Chasam Sofer asks a question. He says, there's another Medrash in Gemara that says, the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen Gadol dies, his son can take over next. So he asks, why do you need a special drasha for the Kohen Gadol? Don't we already know by the Melech that when the Melech dies, the son takes over? So why do you have to have a separate halacha by the Kohen Gadol? So he said there are two types of positions. There's a position of power, which is the Melech, which is one pasuk, and there's another position of kedusha, which is the Kohen Gadol's drasha. And he says, "Ela karachach muchach mizeb." You can learn from the fact that you need a special pasuk for a Kohen Gadol that his son takes over, and you can't derive from the Melech. It must be the lo nemar davar ze el b'melech. We only say the pasuk that the Melech is the Yerusha when it's by a king. Ukedomel. If you want to look inside, at the top of page 4. He says that when it comes to a king, ukedomelo kechol osen hamenuim, other types of positions of appointment, like a king, like a shoter harabim, like a police, the gabai tzedakah, who have position of the finances, the sofre dayanim, who makin bursus, those who are giving punishments, people who have a position of authority, of strength, of power. That all is under the rubric of malchus. But then there's another type of appointment, he says. Aval kol minoi kedusha, when it comes to a place of a kedusha, ein bechalze, that's a very different type of position. That's not included under malchus. He says, "Umishum hachi." For that reason, ba'i kohen gadol kra yisera. The kohen gadol needs a separate and a different drasha to prove that the kohen gadol could be morish the kuna gadola to his children. And that's why he says the Rajba says that about the chazan, the appointment, the minui chazan hakneses, it's telling the minog. But if there were no minog, he says a chazan in the mikdash mat is like a kohen gadol in the base of mikdash. And since we have no pasuk by a chazan, I mean a chazan's a position of kedusha. He's davening for the amud. That's not a position of power. It's not a surara. That's a position of kedusha. And therefore, he says we only have by a kohen gadol. A kohen gadol's morish his kedusha to his child, but not by any other minu of kedusha. And a chazan would not be mona, cannot be morish his kedusha to his child. It's only dependent on the minhag. If there's no minhag, there is no Yerusha by other types of kedusha. So again, by Sarara, by Malchus, all types of positions of power have Yerusha. But by kedusha, only the Kohen Gadol is the one exception where there is Yerusha by that type of minway of kedusha.
It's interesting that the Gavai Tzedakah is considered in the Malchus category of the power, not the kedusha category.
I think it's a very good point. I guess how you define kedusha, giving tzedakah, it certainly is a mitzvah, but I don't think it would be considered it's a davish of kedusha. Davening for the Amud, and we'll see Rabbanus in just a moment how that's classified, but davening for the Amud and the Kohen Gadol certainly are doing davish of kedusha. Tzedakah, although it's a mitzvah, he still is in charge not only of giving tzedakah, he's in charge of how to pay for the bills and the shul. He's dealing with finances, so he's a lot of control of money. Money and power are very much related. So I could see why it might be kedusha, but I'm very comfortable with it being under the category of power and authority as well. So after the Chasam Sofer lays down these two types of groups, so he says, so what's the story with Rabbanus? How do you category a Rav? So he quotes the Machlokas. We have... on one hand, the Ramah indicates that there is Yerusha of Rabbanus, that a Rav could pass on to his child. And then there's the Magen Avraham who quotes from the Maharshtam. Maharshtam said that there is no Yerusha by Rabbanus. Rabbanus is not a type of Malchus. So he says a very nice thing. He says from the Gemara that tells us that Shlosha Ksarim, him, the three crowns, Keser Malchus, Keser Kuna, and Keser Torah. So the Mishnah itself tells us that Kesem Malchus is a Yerusha. You know, I certainly can't be a Melech. I'm a Levi. And a Kohen can't be a Melech. And only if you come from Malchus Beis David. Now, everyone else, who Yaakov's also a Levi. Pinny's a Levi also, right?
They say Aaron's a Levi. I'm not a Levi.
Aaron's a Levi. I'm not sure about Aaron. I'm not sure. So Aaron's a Levi now. So we can't be... We can't be, you're a Levi also? So not the four of us, we can't be, what?
It's a lot of Levi. A lot
of Levi, that's true. So the Levis wake up early in the morning, open up the gates. That's what our job was in the Beis HaMikdash. So from the Mikdash Mat, our job was to open up the place. So the Levim, we can't be Malchus Beis David. Now the other few of you who are Yisraelim, you might be Malchus Beis David. There's a possibility that you come from Malchus Beis David, but if you're not, so there's no Yerusha. I mean, only if, sorry, there is Yerusha, only if you are part of Malchus Beis David could you be a Melech. So that's Yerusha. That's Keser Malchus. Keser Kuna as well. There's no Kohen in this room. Anyone a Kohen? No one's a Kohen. So none of us can become, none of us are Kohen. That's all Yerusha. But when it comes to Keser Torah, anybody, it's there for the taking. Anybody could be Yorish Torah. It's not, there's no Yerusha by Torah. It's anyone's taking, whoever. It has the ability to become a rabbi, to be Rosh Hashiva. It's based on their amelus and their ability to become fine people. And then that's Keser Torah. There's no Yerusha. So based on this, the Marashtam says, there's no such thing as Yerusha when it comes to Rabbanis. It's a Davar Sheba Kedusha. It's like the Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Gadol has a special Pasuk. But outside the Pasuk of that, every other Davar Sheba Kedusha, there is no such Yerusha. And he writes, just to quote the line of the Chassam Zofer, it says, since the Torah Sheba Kedusha V'Horasa Torah, Eino b'Yerusha livneim, and lo mishim keser. So he ends up saying that there is no Yerusha by Rabbanus. And he goes on at the end just to clarify his discussion here. He says Hayotzi lanumik mizeh. What comes out from all this is leinian ulenidon shelfanenu. With regards to our shaila, does the father, is he morish the Rabbanus to his child? He says, "E ein rova tzibra maskimim alav." If the tzibra is not happy with the child, lios lehem the rav, that this child should be the rav, ein lo listar alem mitam nachos avos of klal. He cannot force him to take his son as the rabbi. And that which the Rama says, ah, there is Yerusha by Rabbanus. He says that was a unique case. That was when the rabbi hichzik asma b'sraf. If you look back carefully at the Rama, he said when the rabbi positioned himself to be the rabbi. He forced himself to be the rabbi. He said, I'm opening up a shul. You want to come to my place? So he created the shul. So that's a position of a srara. That's a type of malchus. But a typical case where there, you know, the rabbis had a search, the shul had a search committee, and they hired some rabbi, whoever, he can't just give it to his child. That's not his place. So it might depend how the shul was created. If the rabbi opened up shop, there's a maisa with Rav Yashiv or something similar to this. It doesn't sound like Rav Yashiv had the story, but Rav Yashiv had, you know, his father and himself had been giving shir in a particular shul for 50 years. And when Rav Yashiv got older, so then he started giving shul closer to his house. But he felt that the shul was still his, because he and his father had been giving shir for 50 years. And at some point, it became a machlokas that some people wanted to take the shul over. I forget the name of the shul in the neighborhood of Meir Sharm. And Rav Yashiv said it was his shul and his father's shul, because they'd been giving shir for 50 years. So there's actually a book out, Rabbi Nachman Seltzer, an art school book, maybe a Feldheim book, about a guy, Yisrael Gelis, came out the past few months. It's called like The Man of Yerushalayim or something. It's a fascinating book, incredible stories in there. So I happen to know this guy, Yisrael Gelis. He knows all the history of Yerushalayim. He's like a 10th generation Yerushalmi. So they wanted to know who had the right, like if you look back in history, who owned the shul. So the Yisrael Gelis was called in by Rav Yashiv and his whole family to see if he knew anything about this particular shul, because they felt 50 years they were giving shir in it. So he said, yeah, if you look inside in the shul, there's actually a plaque. That this plaque was donated by two Jewish businessmen who traveled from India many years ago, like 80 years ago. And they donated a shul in Meir Sharm. And they gave the rights to some other, the Vada of Meir Sharm. It wasn't given to Rav Yashiv. So he said, it's very clear who owned it. Rav Yashiv said, I gave shir for the 50 years. I never saw such a plaque. So they took him apparently in the wheelchair. He was old. They brought him inside there. And there's a plaque like right across from where he's giving shir. Like he never noticed it. He just like, gave shir. He didn't pay attention to his surroundings. And he said, Taka, there was a plaque that said these two people had donated to the Vada of Meir Sharm. And Rav Yashiv, he acquiesced. And he said, okay, fine. It's not my shul. And he gave it up to the Vada of the Meir Sharm. So part of it becomes who created the shul. So if the rabbi said, it's my shul, I'm building a shul, I'm opening up a shul in the corner and come to my place. So it might be some type of Yerusha. But if he was elected and then he wants to pass on to his child. That's not his. It's not a Yerusha like Malchus, and therefore the Tibur doesn't want his son. So then there's no Yerusha by Rabbanus. And the Chassam Sofer brings one last raya. He says, "There's raya. If you got a chance to see, it's a very nice raya. The Medrash in Parshas Pinchas, Moshe Beinu has a conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Beinu, who's of course Rabbeinu, he was the Rav, so he wanted his children to be Yoresh the Rabbanus. So he asked a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Kemosha Atah Sofer, not like what you think, that your son is taking over the Rabbanus. Harbe Sirascha Yeshua, Yeshua ben Nun had served you for many, many years. Baharbe Chelik Lakakavot, he gave you incredible amounts of honor. Fupore says Machatzalos, he spread out the mats and the base medrash to learn. He did a lot. And therefore he said that Yeshua ben Nun is going to take over. So Ela Karchach Hayubanim Ruim Lechach, even though the children of Moshe Rabbeinu were Roy, because Moshe Rabbeinu would not have suggested his son take over unless his son was Roy to be the rabbi. So even though the son was Roy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Amar Yeshua Yosu Hagan Lechach, Hashem doesn't say that Yeshua is more qualified. That wasn't the attack. Hashem said Yeshua just put more time into it. But maybe in terms of credentials, it's very possible, says the Chassam Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu's children were more qualified than Yeshua. But that's not about Yerusha. He says, Ella, it's because Yeshua set up the whole base medrash. That's why he deserved it. So it must be, Akarchach b'keser Torah lo nemar, that we don't say Yerusha by keser Torah, even by Moshe Rabbeinu, and even when his children were greater than Yeshua ben Nun. That's what Chassam Sofer finished off his tshuva saying. Now on this last raya, happens to be Rav Asher Weiss quotes this raya, and he says this raya is not such a great raya. He quotes from the tshuva's I think it's Chuvas Marashadam, I saw this in the Maram Shik. And the Abinazer reject this Raya. And they say, based on another Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu's children actually were not Osek B'Torah. They were completely unqualified to be the king, which itself is fascinating, how his children, whether they followed in his derech or not. And if they weren't Rai, why Moshe Rabbeinu would even suggest that they should fill the role of being the next Rav. But they felt that this wasn't a real Raya. It's possible that there is Yerusha, just what his children weren't qualified. No, it's hard for me not to say Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know his children well. I'm not going to suggest that. But it seems to be an interesting machlokas whether or not his children qualified and whether it was really a good taina for Moshe Rabbeinu on his part. But either way, Chassam Sofer ends off this tshuva by saying that there is no Yerusha by Rabbanus. Then, the very next tshuva, Chassam Sofer changes his mind. The very next tshuva. Which, by the way, is such godless. I talk about this often. You know, whenever you ask a rabbi a question, if he never says, I don't know, then I would never trust him. Because there's no person, no rabbi who knows all the answers. Even Rav Shechter, he will oftentimes, probably 50% of the time, he'll say, I don't know the answer. I don't know. Look it up. I don't know. I'll have to look into it. So there's a certain level of humility that's necessary to paskin trials and to be a rav. So the very next tshuva, the Chassam Sofer says, I'm retracting what I wrote earlier. He wrote a whole tshuva. I've dealt with people who've written things up, and if it's written in paper, they never change their mind. Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva, a big, long tshuva, and he says, I'm happy, I looked into it further, I'm retracting, which is great. He says, Chazarti vayanti bezelekayim tiver ramah, I looked into it, I reviewed the sugya, and he says, completely different, and he said, I'm so happy I was able to actually retract and send out another tshuva. So what's his final discussion? He says, The Vadai Nasi HaTorah Bizman Chazal Hayakein Mina Kedusha. In the times of Chazal, position of Nasi, position of Rabbi, was simply to give a Psak Halacha, to teach Torah. It was a Mina of Kedusha. Lo Sheirus Vizayna Biz Yerusha. There's no Yerusha by Torah. But then the Chassam Sofer says, Achshav nowadays, Kimishubar Lekal Lasos Tarchein Bizchar. It sounds like a Rav is Meshubar. He's just an employee of the shul, and therefore it's some position. It's not simply that it's anyone could teach it. It's a position of some power. Now, even though his power is limited because it's up to the tzibur, he ends up saying that there's some level of malchus when it comes to Rabbanus, and therefore he says it's a zeichel malchus, and then Bezdin is yarshu b'neim, that the Bezdin is morish to his children Rabbanus, and he says, Baruch Hashem shezachisi lahapich b'zuchusei de tam l'chachem. He ends up concluding and going a full reverse. It doesn't explain so much. But he seems to say that he thinks Bizman Hazer Rabbanus is a type of a position of power, of authority, and therefore there is Yerusha by Rabbanus. That's what the Chassam Sofer says in the end of the day. Now, this position is not agreed upon by others. The Avnei Nezer is against this. But what comes out is a rabbi considered simply a minoy of Kedusha? Or is it considered a minoy of Srara, a minoy of Malchus? That seems to be the debate here. It might depend on where you live. Might depend on how you became appointed the rabbi, whether you started your own shul, or whether you were elected. But this becomes a fascinating thing. But what happens if there's a machlokas? So let's say, some people I know discussed by various rebbes, there's always a machlokas, so who the next rebbe is. Not always, but oftentimes there's a machlokas, who the next rebbe is. So you could define rebbes as malchus. It can be a malchus, a rebbe. It's certainly the bigger, the more powerful, the wealthier types of chassidim, where they can just go down, take over a highway to fly the rebbe to an airport, and with more cops than when the president travels through the city. So there's a certain level of malchus that applies to them. But what happens when there's a machlokus? Who's the next rabbi? So let's say there's a Yerusha. Let's say you want to agree that there's Yerusha, like Chassam Sofer says, when the rabbi goes, his son takes over. But now there's a question, who's the more qualified son? The older one is the oldest. The younger one, the bigger Talmud Chacham, he's been trained to be a rabbi. Who should take over? So the Avnei Nezer says that when there's a machlokas, he says that then the Yerusha is entirely batal. There's no Yerusha when there's a machlokas, at least by Malchus and by Rabbanus. Why? Because there's the Gemara that says in Hor Yosem Krisus, and the Avnei Nezer quotes this, that when I mentioned this to some of you, when the king is appointed king, you do mashicha, you put some oil on his head, you anoint him. And when the son takes over, the Gemara says, Ein moshchin melech ben melech. But the son who takes over, you don't need to anoint him, because it's a Yerusha. But the Gemara says, how come when it came to when they were moshech Shlomo, Shlomo took it over after his father, David HaMelech, so why did they have to do a mashicha in Shlomo HaMelech? He was he's Yorish from his father, David. So the Gemara said, Mipnei machlokas adun Yahu. Because there's a debate, who's going to take over? And when there's machlokas, you have to do a mashicha. What does that mean? So Rashi there says, when there's a machlokas, it's batal the Yerusha, and therefore you have to start all over again, so now Shlomo's starting the dynasty from Shlomo. So too, says Avnei Nezer, when there's a machlokas by Rabbanus, who's going to take over as a rabbi, the Yerusha's batal, and you have to start all over again, you need a whole election, and whatever it takes to appoint the next rabbi. But Rav Asher Weiss says he's not so convinced that when there's machlokas by Rabbanus, that's batal Yerusha. Because there's a Rambam by the case of Malchus. When there's a machlokas by Malchus, the Gemara says you have to anoint Shlomo Melech. The Rambam says not because the Yerusha of Malchus was batal. Rather, the Rambam says just to appease everyone. I mean, the Yerusha still existed, but everyone saw the fighting. So they did like a whole show. Okay, let's take Shlomo, let's put some oil in his head, make everyone believe there's a real new Malchus here, even though everyone knew it was a Yerusha, just to appease everyone. But there's no real need to do the Mashiach, just to make everyone happy. But Be'etim, there really is Yerusha by Malchus, even in the case of Machlokas. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss felt, based on this, that even though there's a Machlokas, whoever gets appointed, that still is considered a Yerusha. We don't say, okay, Machlokas, throw everyone out, let's start a whole search process, we're not going in this dynasty, let's look for someone else. No, there still might be Yerusha even when there's a Machlokas when it comes to Malchus, and even when there's a Machlokas when it comes to Rabbanus.
The Machlokas is still a Yerusha Machlokas because they're still brothers, from different mothers. But so it's still showing that there's a Yerusha. The question was, who in the family would take over? So it's not like it's starting over and batal Yerusha.
Right, so there could just be, the criteria needed to be a Melech and a Melech Yisrael, you need to be part of David HaMelech's dynasty. That's just a limitation. But when he takes over, it may not be viewed as the very fact that, the way Rashi says this, he says, Ika Malchus, Machlokas rather, Lav Yushahi. So Shlomo could only be, or Adonijahu, or any of the sons could only be because they come from David, but not because of Yerusha. It was just a necessity of being the Melch. But when they take over, it's not viewed as a continuation of David, it's viewed as a brand new Malchus starting fresh right now. But again, just as stipulations is you need to be the Zera David. But not because it's Yerusha, that's just the din of a Melech. So what about the question of can someone else, outside of a son, become the king or the rabbi? What about a son-in-law? What about a brother? What about an uncle? Does Yerusha work in that direction? So Rav Asher Weiss has an interesting discussion here. He quotes from the Beis Yitzchak that he felt that Ben Habas, so grandson, the daughter's son, he felt, comes before the son-in-law. So we see that it doesn't go directly ben acher ben. It could even go, the ben of the bas could go afterwards. So he felt it goes beyond, just like regular Yerusha, there's such a concept of going beyond the sons, it could go to daughters as well. So he discusses this. And Beletze comes down to the daughter's husband versus the daughter's son. Who should get it first? So the Beis Yitzchak thinks that the daughter's son, the grandson, goes before the daughter's husband, the son-in-law. Because at the end of the day, the grandson is a direct descendant of the grandson, even though his mother was in between, he's a direct descendant of the grandfather rabbi. The son-in-law just came in through marriage. So while the Beis Yitzchak felt that the grandson goes before the son-in-law, Rav Asher Weiss suggested, no, he thinks the son-in-law should go before the grandson. Why would the son-in-law go before the grandson?
He's younger.
He's older. Older, maybe, you think? Okay.
Who's the grandson without the father?
Say it again?
He was only, the father was part of his creation.
No, but so the son-in-law? You see, the son-in-law has rights over his own son, even though the son-in-law is not related to the grandfather.
The grandfather picked, or helped pick this son.
He helped his picking of.
He gave a stamma saying it's fine. Close to your grandson, you don't know.
Let's say he didn't. Let's say his daughter found this date somewhere, somewhere out in college. They met each other in the library, and they got married, and it wasn't handpicked by the Rebbe. So the way Rav Asher Weiss suggests, he thinks, because since we have Isho Kegufo, so since the daughter, who's a direct descendant, is married, Isho Kegufo, it's as if the son-in-law is also part of that family. That's what he suggests. Becomes an interesting discussion. But not everyone thinks, however, that you can go beyond the son itself. Not everyone agrees you could go to the daughter, to the brothers. It has to maybe only be the children. And that's Mashra from the Rambam that we started off with. But the Rambam says that Lo Malchus Bilvad Elako Astralos V'chol Minuyim Mishab Yisrael Yerusha Levno Uluven Beno Ad Olam. Sounds like only the sons and grandsons Ben Acher Ben. There's nothing beyond that. That if you view Malchus as the model for Yerusha Rabbanus, then you would seemingly, from the Rambam, limit it only to sons and grandsons, a direct descent, nothing outside of that line. So why would that be? Let's just finish off now. Why would that be, if it's really Yerusha, if classic Yerusha allows you to pass on to brothers and daughters, why would Malchus be any different? So I think it goes based on the following idea. We start off with one of the questions, how does Yerusha Malchus work in the first place, or even Rabbanus? There's nothing to be moorish, there's nothing tangible. There's no property, there's no houses, there's no money. It's a position. How do you mourish something that doesn't exist in the world? So I saw in the Sefer Chavetz HaSharon, he explained that Yerusha by Malchus doesn't work that you're being mourished something to the children. Rather, it works by a different concept. When it comes to Yerusha in general, there's a unique Yerusha when it comes to a father and son. There's a Baal Ma'or in Bab Basra that says, when the son is Yorish the father, it's not just that it's like an acquisition where the father owned it, now the son owns it. The language of the Baal Ma'or is it's ki'ilu ha'av kayim. There's a Rashi in Hor Yosef also that says this. When the son takes over, it's not that he takes over as a new acquisition. It's when he takes over the property, it's as if the father's still alive. It's a seamless transition. It's continuity of the father's his father's life. Ki'ilu ha'av kayim. That's what the Baal Ma'or says. So when it comes to Malchus as well, it's not that the father dies and he passes on to the child. When the child takes over, it's as if the father is still alive. It's a seamless transition. He's just continuing the life of his father. Now the father's actually, of course he's dead, but at least in a deeper sense, it's as if the father's alive. Now only the son has this concept by Yerusha. If a daughter or a brother or uncle were to take over for whoever died, that's not called Gila Av Kaim. Only when the child is alive, the son takes over, it's as if the father is still alive. And there are many nafkaminas by this as well. There's a Gemara in Erevin that talks about making Erev Chatzeros for the father. Only a son could do it. Because the Gemara in Erevin says that the son is Karua Da'av. The son is a leg of the father. It's part of the same body of the father. So therefore, if that's the case, it answers the question. There's no Yerusha by Malchus. You're not giving over property. There's no acquisition. You're not acquiring something that doesn't exist. It's not a position. When the son is there, it's like the father is alive. And you're just moving on. It's just a continuation of the father. There's not a question of nothing tangible. And that would also answer why it's limited only to the children, only the son. Only the son can take over, because only the son has that unique ability of ki'ilu ha'av kaim. And we'll finish off, we have the same exact language. It's fascinating when it comes to Rabbanus as well. We said Moshe to Yeshua was also Yerusha Rabbanus. So there's a Rashi at the end of Parshas Vayelech. The Pasuk talks about that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Am Yisrael as he's leading to his death. So he says, Ki adati, I know, acharei Mosi, after I die, ki ashcheis hatashchisun, you guys are going to do terrible things, Klaisel, v'sartim min aderech, you're going to go off the derech that I taught you. So Rashi says, the last Rashi in Vayelech, he says, harei, koi Mosi Yeshua lo ishchisun. The entire time of Yeshua, they didn't go off the derech. They did very fine during Yeshua. What does Moshe mean? The moment Moshe dies, then Klaisel is going to go sartim min aderech. During the years of Yeshua, they were just fine. So says Rashi, Mikan shetalmido she'adam, a student of a child of a person is chaviv olav kegufo, is like the Rebbe himself, and kozman sheYeshua chai, so long as Yeshua is alive, it was near Moshe kilu hu chai, as if Moshe was alive as well. So we have this concept not only by a father son kilu ha'av chai, but we have even by a Rebbe Talmud that if when the Talmud's alive, it's as if the Rebbe's alive as well. So what comes out is really Yerusha by Rabbanus works also through Yerusha. But it's not Yerusha of a Ben. It's Yerusha of a Talmud. As we saw that Medrash, that the Talmud of Yeshua was more qualified than Moshe Rabbeinu's children. So Yerusha does apply to Rabbanus, but a different type of Yerusha. It's Yerusha that's passed on to students, to Talmidim. And so long as the students continue the legacy of the Rebbe, it's Ke'ilu, the Rebbe is Kayim. Okay, so we'll stop here. Mir Hashem, next week we're going to go ahead and do the next blot.